Gord Summers, can you tell everyone about yourself?
I'm 59 years old, and I grew up as a farm boy. And by trade, I'm a master agriculturist out of Europe. And I spent the last 27 years up to 2005 in the hotel industry. For myself, I'm a scuba diver out of Defiance. In 2006, to Parkinson, I started scuba diving. And in 2008, I was awarded the Master Diver. We will talk later how I, being by nature a pretty stubborn fella, how I succeeded doing so. Otherwise, I'm since 1991, April, a martial artist, and today I have 4.3 degree black belt and an instructor as well. I have trained, since I have Parkinson, my grandson to be a black belt, which was awarded to him with outstanding achievements in November of 2010. So hopefully this gives, and I do have Parkinson's since the year 2000, to be precise, July 1999. Shall we start on the issue, what is most important for to harness Parkinson? Can you still hear me?
I think that's a wonderful idea, and let me invite everyone who'd like to ask Gord a question to call in to the toll-free number if you live in the United States, and that number is 877-590-0733, or if you happen to live outside the United States, you can call the following number, 347-945-5358, or you can always connect through to the show page from your computer using Skype. So yes, Gord, I think that sounds like a great agenda. What is the most important thing to do in order to harness the symptoms of Parkinson's disease?
It's a very simple word. It's called calmness. Now, how do we achieve calmness? When we first start out with Parkinson, we usually go in a tailspin, and I call it, in very simple words, feeling sorry for your own rear end. And once you manage to go through this phase, the door opens up and gives you the idea that Parkinson is a lease on life. That's what I call it, a lease on life. We come back to that later. The calmness is achieved. I give you a sample. We all seem to have different symptoms in Parkinson. One of them is staring. That's one item which I have to deal with. And people kind of look at you and they feel something is wrong. So take the guesswork out of the people's mind. Just simply tell them, for instance, when you go into a meeting, which happens quite frequent to me, I look around the table, and if I notice that there are ladies present, I look in the middle of the table and say the following words. Before we start, I like to advise you, I'm stiff, awkward, and I apologize for staring. It is a medical condition called Parkinson, and please kindly ignore. What have I done now? I divulged to other people that I do have Parkinson. Yes. And the reason doing so is very simple. I put them on notice that I do have Parkinson. That takes the guesswork out of their mind. And I, in return, get my peace. Why? Because I don't need to try to hide that I have Parkinson. And they no, and I simply, you can see in their faces that they are understand, and that puts you at ease, and in return, you achieve calmness. That's one way of doing so. The other way is you use, our heading is, the power of the mind, the most potent weapon against Parkinson. You can use the power of the mind once you manage to access the power of the mind. And just the way you may have done in the chair sitting at the dentist, you refused a freezing, and you asked your brain to send the endorphins to aid you in preventing to jump out of the chair for pain. This is the very same power of the mind you can utilize and ask your body and your mind to calm down. The power of the mind. Let's go number two. I believe it's a state of the mind. To, in order to achieve the calmness, you have to utilize to be positive in your thinking, which means you think positive in your outlook. Parkinson, in your mind, let's put it very simple. If you cross the street and you don't make it from the one side to the other side of the sidewalk, which part would you choose? Parkinson or crossing the street without success? You see many people around you which, let's say, bless the times. I call it going 6 foot under. We as Parkinson, yes, we have a lease on life, and that in my mind alone is a positive thing. When you get up in the morning and you look forward to a goal which you can achieve, then you have a positive outlook. Medications are one thing, but the power of the mind is another weapon against Parkinson. In my mind, it is the strongest and most potent weapon. If you have a positive, bright outlook, then, and you keep yourself physically motivated, you have something to look forward to. And out of my experience, Parkinson, when you are positive in your mind and very active, takes often a back seat. Sometimes you even forget to take the medication because you're so involved in what you're doing, and you find out that you an hour or two over the take-in time, and it didn't make a difference. How do you access the power of the mind? As a martial artist, I do teach jiu-jitsu. You learn various arts like judo, karate, Aiki, and jiu-jitsu. Jiu-Jitsu, by the way, means gentle heart. And when you work with Aiki, first of all, there are between cells communications, which are electrical currents. These electrical currents can be used to alter it into what we call key energy. For instance, our body is divided in two parts, a left and a right side. When you have Parkinson, you usually have, for instance, it's starting with one arm, and the arm is turning into a paperweight. Now the right side is fairly healthy and strong. You drive with key energy, again accessing the power of the mind, your right side down in strength and channel it over to the left side. You will notice that your hand starts calming down, the tremors vanish, and your voice starts monotone. That's a small price to pay. And you look like as if nothing is wrong with you. Often when I tell people that I do have Parkinson and my little story, that it's a medical condition, and I apologize for staring, I'm told that they haven't even noticed. Well, sometimes it's politeness, but often it is by using key energy to suppress the symptoms. Now, how do you access the power of the mind? You can do it through meditation, or you can do it by breathing techniques. The way I do it is simply communicating with the subconscious. And well, it's easy said for me, but let's give an idea how a beginner can do it. Again, you can do it through meditation, but you can stand calm with closed eyes and do breathing techniques similar to yoga. And you will find that your fingers start to prickle. It has a very fine tickling in your fingers. And when you look at your hands, you will see that it looks like it's a marble, white and red spots throughout the palms. And you asked for calmness, and you will find when you exercise these procedures that you've suddenly opened the door to the mind. I achieved it through Aiki. Aiki, the current of electrical current between cells. And we had the techniques where we did breathing, tightening up the body. And when you laid the hand on, you grabbed the person, grabbed me by the wrist, I would give the command through my arm up the arm into the body, to the brain of the other person, and the person would literally jump out of their shoes, up in the air and falling, crashing on the back. this may sound a little bit odd, but once you manage to achieve to open the door to the power of the mind, you will be stumped what you see. It is extremely powerful. We use only 10% of the availability to us. Let me give you a sample. There was a hospital which caught fire. And once the fire came close to the section where Parkinson people were like stiff, like monuments in bed, suddenly they got up, ran across the street, and they froze and fell down. Now, what has happened here? The power of the mind ordered the body to substitute, which I assume, having it done myself underwater, running out of dopamine, I come to that later, that it is substituting with adrenaline and gets the system going. You still there?
I am here, of course, Cord, and dazzled by your explanation. I'm wondering if you could tell people what are the symptoms that you currently experience, even those that other people may not be aware of.
Okay, the question is, what symptoms of Parkinson do I have?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
It started in 99 in July that there was a very fine pain going through the left arm. It's the kind of pain where you put your arm behind your head and you wonder what it's all about. So with me, it occurred driving down a major highway. And I put my arm on the windowsill from the door and said, whatever your problem is, I guess you will tell me later. Then I refused, let's say I was diagnosed in 2003. However, between 1999 and 2003, I had a hunch what I did have. My father had Parkinson as well, and he started with the same symptoms. Now, we're told as children that Parkinson is not hereditary, or to 50%. I do have to smile. I do believe it is very much in the genes, and we have our genes tilted, or the switch is in a certain position that we are receptive to it, and then I guess the surrounding, Mother Nature being messed up, does the rest. So how did I manage to get from 99 to 2003, where I was diagnosed the first time officially? It was called CoQ10, coenzyme 10. Believe it or not, with 60 milligram and 100 milligram, later once a day, the Parkinson's symptoms disappeared for a total of almost 4 years. Once I was diagnosed, there was the left hand shaking. The pain has gone away. The trunk started to which means from the trunk of your body, was stiff. I called it underwater when I saw myself later in 2006. Scuba diving, I called it a trunk on stump, tree stump underwater. then you notice Parkinson goes around the body very slowly, in my case, that the left foot is dragging. And it took as nobody less important than my grandson in Cuba, who walked with me from the dining room to the, bedroom. And that's a walk of, what shall we say, half a kilometer or a little more than a third of a mile. And he suddenly hit with his hands, being 5 years old, behind my upper thighs on my left leg. And he said, "Move, move, move." Well, I was stumped, and I said, after refusing for 8 months medications, because I was appalled how people diagnose Parkinson, I call it walking on the drunken line, like a police officer lets you walk on a line and you have to touch your nose, etc., etc. I found this very appalling and insulting. And for a deficiency or disability like called Parkinson. And I finally acknowledged, looking at my grandson, "Hey, old man, you have to sharpen up." And I took a second opinion, which was in Cleveland, Ohio. The person who examined me was Mrs. Dr. Monique Giraud, and she looked me square in the eyes and said, "You know you have Parkinson." And I kind of smiled, and she said, "Trust me, I see 2,000 people a year. You do." Well, we went then home, and I took the first medication, very slow, being ramped up. Dr. Giraud is I'm very impressed with the way she medicated me. She looked me straight in the eyes since I complained that the left foot drags a little bit, that where's the honeymoon with the medication? And she said, "Be reasonable now and prettier later." And her words are, I didn't know how true they were. With Parkinson now for a little more than 10 years, I'm doing much better today than in the beginning. However, I had to learn certain things. Parkinson does not mean you go and mothball yourself into a glass cabinet and be sorry for yourself and fade slowly away. No, Parkinson is a lease on life. It you find very fast out if you stay very active, defiant, and stubborn. Again, be very active. Sitting in a chair, I learned. I used to do lots of accounting, which makes you sit in a chair for a prolonged time. Well, Parkinson stiffs out your trunk. And the way you can, reduce the impact of this unfortunate reality is I use Thai massage. I went in 2008 to Thailand, Koh Tao. We were diving there, trying to see whale sharks. Well, we had a whale shark, but let's say we were not fast enough to get there. One day I literally tripled, I don't want to call it shuffling, I never shuffled at this point in time, but I kind of slow walked like a stiff puppy into one of the Thai massage places which were recommended by the dive outfit. They were so surprised how stiff I was, and I had one on my feet, one person, one on my arms, and one on my back. And once they saw my little medical bracelet around my neck and they saw the word Parkinson, they said, aha! And I put myself into, half a sleep mode to stand the pain, because they were working on me, pulling my limbs and stretching. And once the hour was done, they asked my wife if I was still alive. She said no. She said, don't worry about it. He knows how to manipulate his body in order to stand the pain, since you roughed him quite nicely up. And this roughing up managed that I got off off the floor, and took my undershirt and put it on, and I shook like a young lad my body so that the shirt would slide down. Since this is quite warm there, it's a little sticky on the body. And they all clapped with cheers, and I guess they were admiring my condition, which had changed to the total opposite, and I guess their good work. So the other thing is that I always used a homeopath. My family doctor called him a charlatan. Well, I beg to very much to differ. I, as politeness, stayed quiet towards my family doctor at that time, and I knew better. The homeopath patches everything up, which the modern medication tries to destroy. It's not surprising that it goes around from kidney to heart to lungs and various other items. So thanks to a good homeopath, he is a good part besides my only trusted doctor. Let's talk about trust. When you have Parkinson, search for a doctor which you can connect with. I guess we talked about my choice. It is a phenomenal lady, Dr. Monique Giraud. She takes plenty of time, but to make it very simple, she walks up to you and she knows in 20 or 30 seconds what I need, and still talks with me an hour about the various things. And it took me less than 10 minutes meeting my doctor of choice, and I knew that this was a person I could trust for life. Now, back to I share with her the martial arts I always showed off in the nurse's mind, that I stood on and still stand like a karate kid on one leg, and make a roundhouse kick, a side kick, a back kick at one and the same time. Let's talk about balance. Balance is the next item which, besides calmness, we have to deal with. Calmness is, again, very important. And it is extremely recommendable that you truly search for calmness if it isn't natural to you. Again, you can train through your brain, your nervous system, to stay calm. Why is it so important? We all know when we get excited, let's call it that way, or nervous, then we start to shake like a leaf on a tree in the wind. As a martial artist, you learn very fast when you are in a competition. When you're nervous, it takes the power of the mind, the availability of your mind, at least to 50% away, which means we are not in full possession of the availability of our brain. Calmness lets you control whatever deficiencies there are and harness them easier. How do you harness? Again, I use the power of the mind. As I said, it is extremely powerful and we use only 10%. Talking with my doctor in Seattle, we both fully agree that the power of the mind is capable of doing, and that's particularly to the doctors well known, doing tests, or not tests, what's it called, these trials with new medications. Some have the real McCoy, and some do have, let's call it, sugar pills. It is noticeable in the first couple of months, or I would say 1, 2, even up to 3 months, that they all look very much as if they are improving, having all the drugs. What's really happening is it is the desire to prevail, to the belief that you have something, a substance which is making turning your condition into a much better picture. But in reality, there is a certain amount of patients in the trial which are solely improving because they believe, and the power of the mind is the actual medication. You must believe that your life is worthwhile living. You must not give up. Bury yourself behind a TV and call your best friend. I sleep between 6, at best 7 hours, often 5 hours a day. And I have, when I wake up, a goal in mind. What goals? Well, I have still the intent to build another retirement home. I talked my son into the retirement home business out of the hotel business. It's very obvious the baby boomers, which we are, dictate where the where business is most rewarding and fruitful. When I came from the hotel in 2000 and visited my son, which we had set up with a retirement home, I noticed when he needed for out of emergency go to Europe, one of his my grandsons had a little accident with an ex, and all went well, so no worry there. But I looked after the maintenance and caretaking and whatever. I was sitting on the lawnmower, and there were people, the residents, the seniors, walking on the sidewalk. And they kind of knew me from the startup, but we never really had time to connect with each other. So I lifted my hand and waved to the seniors, and you could say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the hand was waving back. Since seniors have something in common with a Parkinson person, it's called, I guess, speed. we are a little slower than we used to be. And I connected with them, feeling that we had something in common. They did not care what condition I was in. They accepted me as a equal. And that's one way I found calmness, by understanding and communicating with seniors. This is another item which I like to give as a sample of positive thinking. The people say, "You have Parkinson." "Oh, I'm sorry about that." Nothing to be sorry about. It's a lease on life. But what I'm trying to say is I found out that Parkinson gave me the ability to communicate with seniors. Yes, seniors, the ones which are in a retirement home and which are the customers who allow you to have bread and butter and a good meal every day. And I was able to speak their language because I have been there at one time, sitting behind a table, having a plate of food in my front of my nose, and the only question was, how do I get that food from that plate into my mouth? Well, it is possible. The first response with Parkinson being finally diagnosed, I took in 2004 a sideline to martial arts. It's called Tai Chi. I learned the 108 moves. Being a martial artist, my brain was trained to absorb it in no time, which surprised the Taoist organization, but that's a different story. What I learned is when I wanted to turn the blinker of my car, the lever, which is on the left side naturally of the steering wheel, the hand said, "I'm not moving." Well, I said, "You are." I used key energy, and it sounds like this. I put the tongue back to the back of the throat and release the air, which it feels like a power exhaust. And this, if you try it, I'm certain you will find that it works. I powered the hand with key energy up again, and my blinker moved, and any which way I wanted, and my hand obeyed. Later on, when I wanted to show my wife how you can, through breathing technique, create energy and channel it from the other extremities into the arm or whatever extremity you needed. So I put my hand out and did the breathing, and I pushed her with her chair to the tilting point and then slowly let her come back. People, when I stood there and looked like I was fragile in the early days, until I managed to harness my disability better, were surprised when I walked beside them and put my arm out to against them and said, push. And I used the key energy and the breathing technique to prevent them from pushing my arm to my body or pushing me at all. And this energy I learned in Aiki. I stumbled coincidentally when I have my hand, my fork in my left hand, in order to get that food from the plate to the mouth. And the arm is not willing. I put the left finger on the left hand, the pinky, the short little fellow of the five. I put him out, pointing away from the fork. And this sounds funny, I channel my brain through my arm into my hand, into the pinky. My arm moves quietly, so no sound, which I used to eat. Sounds funny. I guess the family gets used after a while to it, that you use a breathing technique at the table, but they did not notice that I just put the pinky out and achieved the very same. So having done that for a while, it came to me very natural. I said, well, if the power of the mind can do that, then subconscious, I really want you to listen. And it took roughly 2 months. I always scan myself as a martial artist every couple of seconds. And the message came back, you know, this arm is a paperweight. This doesn't work. I said, shut up. You take notice. This is my good arm. This is my best arm, and you fix it. It will move. And each time the message came, I said, no, this is my best arm. It's my good arm. It can move. And believe it or not, the arm is today not a paperweight. It is in worst times, to 70% capable of what my right arm is capable of doing. I'm right-handed. And before I had Parkinson, there was no right and left. My left and right were equally fast. And today, when there's a good day, it's 80, 85, or almost 90% I have use of my arm. Not only my arm, my fingers, as I speak, move, all five, and they move the way I want it, not the way Parkinson wants it. And what am I saying? Is it worthwhile trying to find the access to the power of the mind? Oh, yes. It is very much worth your while. You will be surprised how you improve and how you manage to almost forget that you have Parkinson. I'm not kidding. There are days where you believe, why am I taking this medication? I'm feeling so good. What do I need it for? Yes, trust me. It is really worthwhile looking for the access to the power of the mind. I'm sure you all have done it without knowing. You drive a car and suddenly you feel something is not right and you clap your hands over the steering wheel very briefly, 2-3 times. And what do you feel after you do that? Your hands are obeying you. Without knowing, you tapped into the power of the mind. If you want to find it, you will. But you must want, really want. And you, I guarantee you, you will find it. And once you know how to access it, you will never look back. You look pretty. Again,
you
the
are
worst
then, thing, Gord, you are taking medications, is that right? And if so, which ones?
Okay. I do take the gambling drug. Ha ha. It does not do anything negative to me. Okay, fine. There was the urge to go shopping a little bit. I acknowledge that. But I told him, get out of my life. With the power of the mind, I don't need this nonsense. And yes, it worked. So what am I taking? Amantadine, 300 milligrams. That's 3 times a day. 7 o'clock, noon, and 5 p.m. The next one is, and I took Mirapex, is the gambling drug. It's a total per day of 6 milligram. Since 2008, I do take levodopa 25-100. It's one pill. I will stand corrected. Today it's 1.5 in the morning, and 1.5. At noon, and at 5 p.m. Last year, okay, hang on, it was March, this year, March, I take, instead of Sinemet, levodopa, it is Sinemet, which I'm taking, 25-100, which is levodopa and carbidopa, which is a time delay. So I take at 5 o'clock, instead of Sinemet, I take Stelevo, one pill. And that is since November 2008. That I'm on leave Sinemet, and March of 2010 that I on Stelevo, one pill at 5 p.m. only one, and no Sinemet. So what you notice since 2008, I'm on the same medication without increase and without reduction at this point in time. Even so, I feel I should start to reduce. But again, that's a different story. Tai Chi, what does Tai Chi give you? Balance, coordination between mind and body. Moving food from the plate to your mouth. We talked about this. Key energy. Pinky finger. By as a measurement of making your arm moving. Mind over matter. That's what I call using the power of the mind. When you, let's say, take a day where you stiff and drag your foot, you do the 108 moves which you can learn in 3 months, 5 months tops. If you are a beginner and you're really serious about it, 3 months, you acquire the 108 moves, and from there on, you start building and fine-tuning, and you learn how to ground yourself, and you are on the best way to communicate with your power, with the power of the mind. If you're really serious about it and do it every day. What did I want to... Yes, you go into wherever I go into my little dojo in the basement, and I do the 108 moves. After 5 minutes, it takes you roughly 15 minutes. After 5 minutes, I notice very clearly that my, again, taking my worst day, that my extremities are starting to obey. After 10 minutes, you start to smile, everything is working with you. After 15 minutes, you're finished, you come up the stairs and you walk like a young dog, nothing is wrong. And that is worthwhile learning in my book. Similar, I have noticed when in 2006 I went scuba diving. How are we for time? I guess we are close to an hour.
We have about 28 minutes left.
Okay, then we have to rush the turtle. The going, when I went scuba diving, I needed a certificate from the neurologist that that they have no concern whatsoever that I can dive. And trust me, Parkinson has definitely nothing to do with diving, other than what people, let's say the instructors, they really didn't like me to have a license. But I was stubborn like an ox, and I said, I want my license. And they threw me over the pier with all the gear on, and my feet didn't want to do the proper propulsion. So I was for 2-3 hours in the water with everything on, with the weights on, the BCD, and just no tank and no breathing apparatus, regulator. And the people looked over the wall and said, are you still alive? You must be shriveled by now. Well, my message to the instructor was the following. He said, you're going to be in karate camp. I said, you do what you have to do to get me ready. And good enough, my stubbornness prevailed. I was awarded the open water license. And while doing so, being underwater, I came out after half an hour, 50 minutes, 60 minutes, depending what depth you are in. And it was so invigorating to the scuba diving that for the next 20 minutes, I marched as if nothing was wrong, smiling. The feet were working properly, the hands were working properly. You just felt newborn. Let's go to when I made the rescue diver. Yes, before you get master diver, which I am today, it's a recreational degree, It's Master Diver, not Dive Master. Dive Master and Instructor is a professional degree. And before you can get your Master Diver, you have to be a rescue diver. Yes, the lame duck went underwater and rescued people and brought them up to the surface and towed them and gave them rescue breath and undressed them, taking their equipment off and towing them ashore against current. Yes, against current. And on my way getting all the training to be a rescue diver, at that time in 2008 in May, I ran out of dopamine underwater. I knew the tank was empty. And for a moment, the current was starting to push me back. I ordered through the power of the mind my feet or my left foot to move. I was so desperate to get the license that my mind ordered what I think is adrenaline to substitute, and yes, I made it to the goal. For 2 minutes, I was riding on something other than dopamine. It works. I have learned how to do that with a snorkel in my mouth in the swimming pool. And in the middle of the pool, I was lying as if I was part of the pool, the statue. And I looked around. I had a three-quarter dive suit on, so that is the material floats, so I was not in danger. I could lie like a statue on top of the water without motion. So my left arm did not want to give me the courtesy to swim further. So again, I had a snorkel on in my mouth, and I did the key energy. And while doing so, my arm obeyed me and did the swim motion, just the way you learn it. Forward, back, and triangle hand together and the swim motion. And I nicely came to the opposite side or wherever I wanted to go, to the other side along the pool. The person which I told later about it, no less than the fellow who sits in the chair and is to rescue you if you're going down, a lifeguard, they hadn't even noticed anything. Again, the power of the mind with the breathing technique allows you to succeed where others give up. So what do we have left, Robert?
You mentioned in some of the notes that you passed to me about subjects you wanted to be sure and cover during the show that you can walk faster by lowering and pushing forward your pelvis and shoulders. Explain exactly how that works to people.
Well, I have done it many times to show off in front of Dr. Giraud and her nurse. Let's say you stand on both feet upright, tall. And I'm sure you have learned as a child how to be a potato bag, which means you just tell with your mind, your body, to get heavy. You know, somebody wants to throw you, your natural instinct is to get heavy. And you let your knees go a little bit, you don't really see it as an outsider. So you get heavy, your knees unlock, bend a little bit forward, and then you shift your pelvis. This may remind you shifting your pelvis forward of marital duties. So you shift it forward, and that means you lower yourself a little bit in height, and then you start walking. Play with it. You might be surprised what you find. Remember, the Parkinson likes to lock out your trunk. And this is, which means some of your bones are not exactly in the place where they're supposed to be. Stiff muscle always pulls on the skeleton. And again, you stand tall, you get heavy, which means you lower yourself a little bit, and you're sinking a little bit down, your knees go a little bit forward, and then you shift your pelvis forward, and then walk. You will find that you get quite a speed accomplished. So much of speed that your wife or your sons have difficulty to keep up with you all the time. Yes.
Does it make a difference to push your body to exhaustion?
Yes. It's a very good thing to do. May sound cruel, but again, you have a goal in your mind, and you want to achieve it, which means you, the way I did it, I took a pick and a shovel and dug a hole, and because the hole we needed for some pipes, we set up our children. The one is has a retirement home, the other one has a banquet facility. 19,000 square feet. That was a cinema, which we retrofit and rejuvenated into a banquet facility. And yes, during that time, I had pick and shovel in my hands. I drove, learned how to drive a bobcat, how to use a small swing shovel, and let's say it was real construction work, and you start to exhaust. Then you use your stubbornness. Once you pooched, it took in my case 5 hours, 6 hours. Then I use the mind to go beyond. Pushing myself, literally pushing, like running. That's the easiest way to explain it. You run around the block. In my case, it's 1.4 kilometers. Let's call that 0.9 miles. And I do this in when I'm out of shape in 9 minutes, 30 seconds. And within 14 days, pushing myself, you literally run out of air. You're gasping for air, and you force yourself to go further, regardless. And what the result is? Okay, when I'm good, then I'm 7 minutes 20 seconds. What the result is? The next day, you are richly rewarded for pushing yourself over the limits or being very physically active. How? Well, you walk as if you were a young lad. Everything functions better. Blame it on the circulation being the blood going faster through your system, and enriching your parts of the body or whichever with more nutrients or okay, well, that we leave that opinion to a doctor. It certainly loosens your body. It makes your stiffness to take a backseat, and Parkinson very much you throw it for easily for the entire day behind you. That is my experience with pushing yourself. Now you may, let's assume you are a couch potato. Start running around the block or on a treadmill and go as far as you can. Then take the next, let a few hours go by or take the next day, or some say if you do heavy workouts on treadmills or running around the block, do it every second day to give the body a rest, or do some other activity in sport, make use of other muscles than the one you used the day before. And then you will notice over the days that you do these strenuous tasks, your time duration will be climbing. Your heart starts to beat less vigorous, and you gaining strength. Then when you want to improve, you notice that your steps get longer. No shuffling. You just have to, I make myself heavy, put the knees, unlock the knees a little bit forward, and push the pelvis forward. And then my steps get longer. Maybe it sounds easy for me, but I have learned it the hard way as well. And it handsomely rewarded me. I'm sure Robert remembers me from Seattle in November. Maybe he can tell us what he saw, if he saw a heavy case of Parkinson, riddled person, or the opposite.
Strong, vibrant, a man that to me looked like he would wipe me out in a minute if he wanted
boy.
To.
Muscular.
And the other thing, I guess I should let everybody know, the reason why I really wanted you to be on the show is you stood up and you made some statements and asked a question to one of the speakers, and there was no obvious indicator at all that you had any of the symptoms of Parkinson's. No obvious indicators. And of course, many of the other people in the audience, there were many people whose symptoms were very obvious and evident. You were also talking about some of the things that you had been doing that were making such a huge difference. So the answer is no, you can't tell. Very incredible, powerful presence that you have with people, Gord. It was very impressive. You mentioned the value of CoQ10 to you, especially during the first four or so years after your diagnosis.
Yes.
What about eupaquinol?
CoQ10 has come a long way from the time when I used it the first 3-4 years to hold up Parkinson, and it definitely works, no doubt about it. It's called CoQ10 ubiquinol. Ubiquinol is a form which is, let's say it says 100 milligram, but it's really 300-400 milligram. It is a form which is able to penetrate the membrane goes through the membrane into the brain. It is fully absorbed by the brain. And so I take 1,200 milligram a day, and it's I have it next door. I would have to put the receiver down. one moment.
But that's the form of CoQ10 then that you take. So Gord is now going to make sure that he
wasn't
gives
very
the
long,
specifics.
Robert.
Yes.
So it's from Innovite, which I use, that's highly water-soluble. And the ubiquinol is just a form of CoQ10, which is far more absorbed than what the original CoQ10 was absorbed. I know it can hold up Parkinson for several years, but I do notice when I'm not taking it, okay? When I have negative days, I don't know when I had the last one. it's at least my memory doesn't serve me.
Who's the manufacturer of that, Gord? Did you say Innovite? Who is the manufacturer of that?
Innovite. It's
Innovite.
And I believe it's an American manufacturer. Okay. Let's see if we can find. Of course, they have to put French on it.
Of course.
That's Canada, right? Manufactured, okay. It's you look it up on the internet under 3xWINNO-VITE.com, and you will find the product.
Great.
It's CoQ10 ubiquinol. How do you spell it? U as an umbrella, B as in birda, I as an island. Q, I don't know the word. Q, and then U for U-boat, I for island, N for North Pole, O for Otto, L for Larry.
What about CCSVI and Parkinson's? And what is that?
Well, what is that? CCSVI is actually made its way around the world just a year ago or so. It's multiple sclerosis. What has multiple sclerosis to do with Parkinson? Well, I felt it is called metal poisoning. And it came out of Italy. There was a doctor named Zambini. A surgeon. His wife came down, unfortunately, with multiple sclerosis. He was so motivated to save her that he found the cure for his wife. He found that both her jugular veins, what are the jugular veins? They are the carotid arteries which bring the blood into the brain. And the jugular veins are the, let's call it the drain pipes, which bring it back to the lungs and then to the heart. The left side of my, the left brain was apparently for many years to 95 or higher percent blocked. There was a 9 millimeter blockage, 9 meter long. The jugular vein was totally blocked, and I went to AMI in Vancouver, since nobody in our area here in the Eastern Hemisphere of Canada wanted to do an MRI for a CCSVI procedure, and they found that the left side was had negative flow, and so not even positive. And we saw the metal deposits around the substantia nigra. I expected the substantia nigra very tiny. Well, I was in for a surprise. The substantia nigra was just about 80% still there. And they lost radio communication between the MRI, typically like it is with multiple sclerosis. They usually have both sides blocked. And we lost contact between the dye which they inject so they can communicate with the MRI and get their pictures and numbers. So on the 19th of November, I was in L.A. because they're only in the West Coast. Let's say there are only two which do a minor invasive surgery. They go in the main artery, we call it the main vein in our growing area, and go through your heart with a little balloon and right into the jugular vein. And there they pop the balloon and the artery opens, the vein, and the flow started. The same day I noticed that I could turn my upper body 90 degrees to the pelvis. That was prior difficult. I was playing in the next day in front of the TV with my fingers as if I was the composer of, let's say, the head of a big music assembly.
Uh-huh.
And my wife noticed that my voice got louder and faster. So that's as much as I can tell you about CCSVI. What happened to Dr. Zamboni's wife? She came within hours out of the wheelchair and walked. I saw her on TV walking beside her husband. She was faster than her husband.
That's great.
While I was in L.A. and what was the outfit's name? It was Dr. Harris. But, it doesn't serve me at the moment. There are only two, and the one is, I think, Stanton University, which is, you must sell your house when you want to get procedures. But they did it for $8,000, and it was very experienced. The outfit is, it's called Pacific Intervention. And they four doctors, and they all very seasoned in the minor invasive surgery. And I saw while sitting in the waiting room a lady out of Saskatchewan, which was brought in the wheelchair, and the daughter and the father or husband told my wife that she is since 10 years sitting in that wheelchair. And 20 minutes after the opening her jugular veins, the lady came out of the wheelchair. Not like a spring chicken, but she stood on her own two legs and started to walk. So I found in 2003 and 2005 through my homeopath taking hair samples from my neck and sending them to Chicago to a lab. I knew that I had quite some nice assembly of heavy metals in my body. It never gave me a rest. I always thought about it, even so my family doctor said, this is crack, this is charlatan, this is nonsense. Yeah, okay, great. And when my wife called me out of my office down and said, do you want to see this? I said, this is multiple sclerosis. Well, look at it. Well, I looked at it, and it rang my bell. It took me, to be honest, a three-quarter year to finally give myself a push and go for an MRI. The doctor looked at me after the MRI and said, how the hell did you come to that idea? To go the multiple sclerosis way as a Parkinsonian. And I told him the story that I just told you about the metal, and one of them even was arson. Interesting. And I said, did you find anything? And he turned the screen around and he showed me what I told you earlier. So that is something I leave in your minds if it is worthwhile. Would I do it again? Any day. Does it eliminate Parkinson? I don't know. Does it reduce the symptoms? And do I think I come into the position where, or am I in the condition to start to reduce? Well, I tell you the following. I was so tempted because I felt like on top of the world, even more so. I left for 3 days the third, the 5 o'clock medication away. I didn't even notice the difference. And when I took it, I started to slow down. Well, I have no opinion about that. But yes, it's worthwhile looking into. And if anybody needs to know more in detail what how it was like, one is welcome to use my email. It is info@G as in George, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, U as in umbrella, M as in mother, O like in Oscar.com. And I'm more than happy to share with you as a fellow Parkinsonian what I feel and what I experienced and what the results were so far. It is, in my opinion, just a little more than a month. So time will tell. Mother Nature will render its opinion sooner or later.
Gordon Summer, we are out of time, but I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for an incredible presentation of all the many ways that you have found give you sustained and incredible relief from the symptoms of Parkinson's that you have experienced over the years.
Hopefully it makes a difference to some of our fellow Parkinsonians. I thank you very much for having me. Thank you so much, Robert, and it was a pleasure to share. I hope that I got through my list. I don't even know. I talked freely of my mind.
All the way at the end, Gord. I think we covered all the points, all the incredible
Wonderful.
Points that you were hoping to cover. So thanks so much again.
Thank you so much, and stay in touch.
Will do.
Bye-bye.
And that's what's happening on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and all the children are truly loved. No, by virtue of the fact you are listening to this show today, that you are indeed on the road to recovery. Have a magnificent day and a marvelous New Year's celebration. Good day.